Hi, this is Jesse Bruce, host of The Wine Guy, here on 92.1 WGHN Grand Haven, with a little bit of a disclaimer, just sort of an update as to what we're doing with the show here. We started it last week. We're going to continue it for this week and next week. Last week, we were joined, of course, by our good friend, Mr. Jeff Crutchmeyer, and he brought in Mr. Zach Filkins, the guitar player from One Republic and also the owner of Filkins Vineyards down in Coloma, not too far from us. Well, we taped so much show that there's just no way we could have fit it all into one episode, so we actually are going to have three episodes, and this is the middle episode where we talk about the wines from Zach's vineyard and pair them with some yummy foods from our good friends over there at the Kirby House. So this is part two of our interview with Zach, and we'll wrap it up with part three next week. And now it's on to the Wine Guy here on 92.1 WGHN Grand Haven.
The Wine Guy is presented on 92.1 WGHN by DSC Products, a manufacturer of cleaning products since 1983. DSC Products, locally owned and family operated. Visit dscprod.com for all their cleaning solutions. DSC Products, clean freaks and proud of it. Here now are the hosts of The Wine Guy on 92.1 WGHN, our in-house sommelier, Jeff Crutchmeyer and Jesse Bruce.
Welcome back to The Wine Guy on 92.1 WGHN, being presented by our good friends at DSC Products. I'm your host, Jesse Bruce. As always, we're joined by our good friend, Mr. Jeff Crutchmeyer, in-house sommelier, also out there at the Grand Haven D&W, and our special guest today, Zach Filkins of Filkins Vineyards. We're talking about his wines, which all are Michigan-sourced wines, all out of Coloma. Zach is also the guitar player and contributor to the band One Republic, and is Mr. Crutchmeyer gets ready with another one to pour. Here's your next question, Mr. Filkins. A venue that you played that was just magical. I'm not talking about necessarily like history, like not Madison Square Garden or something like that, but from a musician standpoint, like the sound was great, the people were great, it all came together.
Yeah. Well, so this is an easy answer for all of us. We all tend to answer the same thing. I can't remember what year it was, but it was shortly after Counting Stars was released, but before Counting Stars was any sort of
the banger.
Banger that your kids refer to.
Yes,
we got booked to play a show in Byblos, which is in the Middle East. It's an ancient town. And we were super excited about it, obviously, because it's like we've never been there before. It sounds exotic. We started playing the show, and it was like you said, magical. It was probably a ancient, you know, probably a Roman amphitheater or something like that. And it was one of those moments where everything was perfect and the crowd was electric and we started playing. And that was the first time when we played Counting Stars that the crowd sang every word with us. Mm-hmm. In that moment of just electric excitement, we were like, what is going on? They know this song, you know? And so it was before we even knew that Counting Stars would be anything. Mm-hmm. And that 100% was like a beautiful night. And it was like this outdoor venue. The weather was perfect, you know. There was nothing like that.
Okay.
Yeah. How about that feeling of just, you know, inspirational, just getting into it.
Yeah.
Like that.
There's no comparison when your audience sings your songs back at you, with you. Mm-hmm. There's nothing like that.
Mm-hmm. Alrighty. All right. So what are we having now, Mr. Crutchmeyer?
All right, we got the Pinot Gris, which, like I said, this is the Italian version of a Pinot Grigio, because a Pinot Gris and a Pinot Grigio are basically the same grape. The only difference is Pinot Grigio, just like in your champagne and sparkling wine. Champagne is only made in France. So Pinot Grigio was only made in Italy, and Pinot Gris is made everywhere else, and sparkling wine is made everywhere else. So that's what we got here, and nice, look at that, a little bit more golden.
Yeah.
Now you look cool. And on the nose on this, it's a little heavier, a little more spiciness is what I get out of there. That's just like...
It's stronger. Yeah, I get a stronger...
spicier.
I get almost like maybe my nose is in a funky place. I get caramel. I get like a caramel on the head.
Well, I'll take that.
Yeah, like a caramel.
Yeah, I haven't had this in probably about 5 months. And it smells really, really good.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let me give us a little taste and see what we get in the...
Boy. Nice. Mm. So, you know, you and your friend know what you're doing because, boy, that was good. I mean, all of these, they all taste excellent. But, man, that one was... It goes by you, but in a good way. Doesn't overpower you. Mm-hmm. Doesn't... You know, what was that thing we got into like last week that was just really, even you and I both said, we won't be having that again. We got into something.
Oh, yeah.
We got into something that was just so strong and so, and this is not like that at all. Yeah. This is not like that.
Oh, the Negroni.
Negroni. Yes, yeah. Negroni. That stuff was,
those are fun.
Oh, boy.
Those have to be mixed well. You need a good cocktail, bartender to make a good Negroni, right?
Yeah, the Negroni was not our favorite.
Did you guys mix it yourself?
No.
It was an RTD. It was an RTD. That thing jumped you outside the club and took your money. It was bad. But no, this is smooth, refreshing, a little fruity on the end. Lovely drink.
You got the fruity. I got the little spice in it. It kind of weighed down on my tongue. And which is what, you know, I expected. Nice little weight on the tongue. It still sat there with you still had the little apples in there. Mm-hmm. But like I said, it had the spiciness in the background. Maybe it's from my, ginger beef that I had. Maybe it's still lingering of that one, but kind of laid down on my tongue, put on there, really good. Mm-hmm. It's what I expect.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
If it did not do that, I'd be a little disappointed.
Yeah, yeah. I like that this is kind of a bolder Pinot Gris. I think that it's not like that super light. You know, Jason, let this sit with the lees a little bit longer, so it's a richer. You know, a lot of times we are going to release a Chardonnay with no oak, but we haven't done that yet. And so some people will come in and say, I like a Chardonnay, but I don't like oak on it. We will point them to this.
California got way overboard with their oaks.
Yep.
And there was a time where people got into the grandma loved her oaks, loved her oak Chardonnay. But as time went on and the kids grew up, they decided that the non-oak Chardonnay was more their style, mm-hmm. and I like that they just wanted that flavor.
Mm-hmm.
A few of them have changed over, but not many. Mm. And if you hit on that, you'll be still within the leading pack of changing over into that.
Yeah.
Mm. Good. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
Well, with this one here, I am definitely going to go with some of the salmon on this one.
All right. I'm going to have some noodle. I'm going to have some
choice.
Noodle.
Can I copy you? Can I go with the salmon, or do I have to go somewhere? Different?
You can do whatever you want.
Because the salmon's a good choice.
As you've kind of gathered, we really have no rules or format on this show.
Love that.
Yep, we just kind of keep going. All right.
Just go with instinct.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's good noodle. Miss Ella would like noodles like that. She would.
What's the crust on this salmon? Is this, a mustard... Stone ground mustard.
Wow. Zowie. Wow. That made, obviously, the sauce that is on the noodle or the balsamic or whatever they put on that. When this wine hit that, I mean, it was just like a big burst of sweet. Mm. Just boom, big burst of sweet. And then at the tail end, it was kind of like we always talk about cinnamon candies. Like when you have a cinnamon candy and there's that nice little silent flame on your tongue there. Nice stuff. That was exciting.
Nice.
That was unexpected. Unexpectedly exciting. I liked that.
You know, with this salmon, I really, really liked this Pinot Gris. It added to me. We didn't add any peppers onto it. I did not see any, spices other than the topping that they put on there. Mm-hmm. But this added like some of that pepper, like white pepper flavoring on there. Which is really wasn't overpowering, or just there. It was good. I could actually eat this all day, and if I'd even take Jesse's portion.
Yep. Nice. Yeah. I think it's right there. You can have it.
You can have it.
Yeah, this was great. I like how it played off the. I think there's a sweetness to the crust that they put on that salmon. It really played off well with it.
That's one I'll definitely have to talk with the Kirby House about putting on their. Menu.
Mm, that would be great. Okay. And this Pinot Gris also, try it with sushi. Anyone out there?
Oh, yes.
It's
well,
great with sushi.
I have a family of people who enjoy sushi. And, of course, you know how I feel about fish, so that makes it awkward for me. I just sit in the car while they eat.
That's correct.
Okay.
You are listening to The Wine Guy on 92.1 WGHN, brought to you by DSC Products. Visit dscprod.com for all their cleaning solutions.
At DSC Products, we're clean freaks and proud of it. We don't believe in the 5-second rule. We give each other scrub brushes as gifts. And we've been creating cleaning products our competitors wish they had since 1983. From the highest quality carpet and upholstery chemicals to expert training and support, we'll save you time, money, and those ew faces from customers. We're more than a supplier. We're your partner in crime against dirt. DSC Products. Clean freaks. And proud of it. Find us at dscprod.com. DSC Products. We don't just manufacture solutions. We are the solution.
You are listening to The Wine Guy on 92.1 WGHN, brought to you by DSC Products. Visit dscprod.com for all their cleaning solutions.
Mr. Crutchmar, let's get another one going. Here's our next question. All right, Zach, first song you mastered on guitar that you could nail it, and you knew you had it too.
Oh, wow. That's going to be... it was a Phil Collins song, and I play, and my teacher, I lived in Spain for a while. That's where I learned guitar, and my teacher wanted, he found out I play guitar, and he played guitar, and we had sort of like class talent show. Mm-hmm. And it was a Phil Collins song. I'm spacing on the name of it right now.
Was it Up Tempo?
It was from the album, But Seriously. And it has like a little...
He's getting his phone.
Think Twice. Another Day in Paradise. That's
oh.
the song. Yeah, yeah. And it had like a Spanish like nylon guitar
ding,
part.
Ding, 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 uh-huh. ding, 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 ding.
And he learned that I played, was learning, you know, Spanish classical guitar. And he was like, we're going to do Another Day in Paradise. And I learned that I was 11 years old.
Wow.
11 or 12. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And we played that kind of as a, like a talent show for the school.
Huh.
Yeah.
Good. Cool. Cool.
Yeah.
I will never look at that song the same way as again.
There you go. That's a good album, by the way,
yeah.
too.
Oh, yeah. Well, I often think that Phil, you know, it's funny because like when I was a youngster in the 80s, everybody was like, oh, Phil Collins is everywhere. And then you get to a certain age, you're like, the guy was a genius.
He was a genius. He was a genius.
He
yeah.
Both gigs at Live Aid the same day.
Yeah, exactly. He knew what he was doing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes,
exactly.
He was. Exactly. We got to meet him a few years ago in Switzerland
because
he spent some time out there.
Oh, wow.
And I was just, he was in our dressing room, and I was just like, kind of like zoning out, just like, I don't know if he knows that he's Phil Collins.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Does he know who he is?
Or another thing about Phil, like we talked about tone earlier too, like when Phil plays drums, he's such an underrated drummer.
Yeah,
he's got a tone. Like you can hear, like I'll listen, it was funny as we taped this, I played some Robert Plant earlier today. He played drums in the first two Robert Plant solo records. And you know that's him without even, because he's got that swing and the way he hits it, and he just likes the drums mic'd a certain way. But I just think, you know, he's like, I guess he's like a wine. It's something that appreciates with time. But when I was a kid, he was like, oh, I don't like Phil Collins, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Then I get older and I'm like, man, Phil Collins was right on the money.
He nailed it. Yeah, he nailed it.
He was.
That's right.
Okay, where are we at now?
Okay, we are now into the Chardonnay. So we got now the Philken 2024 Chardonnay. And that I was, as you guys were talking there and stuff, I was sniffing this out. And this is a really nice, light Chardonnay. Mm-hmm. It's not a big, in-your-face, power Chardonnay that you get out in California.
Mm-hmm.
This is a little lighter. Let me see what the alcohol content on the
easy,
thing
easy.
There.
There you go.
ABV, 13.5. Even though most of your Chardonnays out there are 13.5, mm-hmm. this is still a lighter on the nose.
Yeah.
And stuff.
Yeah, it doesn't hit very hard. Doesn't hit very hard. And I'll say this is liquid gold because this vintage last year, we got hit with some humidity in June and July.
Mm-hmm.
And powdery mildew is something that attacks Chardonnay almost first in a vineyard. And we got nailed pretty hard. So... Mm-hmm. We lost, I would say, probably 80% of our crop last year.
Mm.
So this is just from the remaining fruit that was clean.
Mm.
Now, as I listen to you, as you talk about like these different little things that you were just talking about, the weather conditions and stuff,
mm-hmm.
most owners, do not understand, all of that. They leave that up to their winemaker.
Mm-hmm.
You seem to be like really involved yeah. in your vineyard, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Is that accurate?
Yeah, I love learning about it. The hardest thing for me in some ways is having to go on tour when all the action is in the vineyard. So I've missed most of harvest this year, which has been heartbreaking because we've been on tour in Europe. But I love learning about this. Wine has this hold. It gets a hold on you, and you don't really. There's no way of explaining it. You can't use words to explain it, but you just want to learn more, and you want to experience more, and you want to. It's endless, as you know. It's endless. Like, even though at your level of education, there's still more you can learn. And for me personally, it's just kind of, I just love it.
It's like, I remember being in France and stuff, and I know, Jesse, I can only explain it to you and stuff. And as you were saying, there's just something about it. Going out, clipping the bushels, clipping the bunch of grapes and putting them in, and being out there in the cold of the morning, and walking through all the wet leaves, and just going through. Yeah, it doesn't sound romantic, but when you're out there in the quiet, you're clipping that. Yeah. It really is really nice.
Yeah.
And, put it in, and then going into the pressing room, having the press and the smell that's in there, and the little work. It's work, but it's fun work. Kind of like your job, Jess.
Yeah.
It's work, but it's fun.
Yeah.
It's a well-orchestrated illusion. All righty, let's take a...
All right.
I get a lovely...
Yeah, this is.
I get some peach off that, as a matter of fact. So let's take a hit here.
Yeah. I get that little leafy leech smell out of there. Mm-hmm. That's really good.
Oh, God, that was wonderfully smooth. Smooth.
So super smooth, right?
See, your wines don't beat people up. And not like that stuff we had last week that was beating us up. This stuff is just so good.
Yeah.
It's just so good. And it's from Michigan, so maybe that's why. But no, I mean, it's smooth. Yeah. I mean, was that your vision with this? It's just, did you say, I don't want to dumb down the language, but I want to make wines that don't overpower people.
Yeah.
Because it has to be accessible, otherwise people aren't going
to
drink it again.
Right, it has to be accessible. Yeah, I think the vision really was balance and complexity, a breadth of flavors, but nothing offensive for sure. But we also didn't want it to be too thin. We want, we want full flavor.
Yeah.
I think one of the things with Jason's winemaking that I love is that he does various different types of oak, various different types of vessels, various different types of yeast fermentations, all for one single fruit varietal, and then he'll blend them all at the end. And so he gives himself with one fruit, with Chardonnay, for example, he'll give himself four different or five different colors on the palate, then he'll blend it all together. Mm-hmm. And so what you get is that balance, the breadth of expression, but there's a sort of a journey too, because you have like so many different colors that he's used on that palate board.
Sure.
Now, with the Chardonnay, it's kind of funny because Chardonnay is supposed to be really dry, okay? Chardonnays are dry. Mm. That's where you put them in the spectrum of your sweetness, all the dry. You go, from your Rieslings all the way up. This is not that bone dry where you feel you just had it. Now I need a glass of water.
Yeah.
I don't need any water after this. It's nice and light. Again, this amplifies and this signifies what I keep saying. Is that Michigan wine? This is a pairing wine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is a very pairing wine. It's not going to suck anything out. It's going to go ahead and just complement. Like I said, it was really good. I'm pretty impressed with it.
Nice.
I'm pretty impressed.
Great.
So what do you want to pair it with there?
I am going to go with this one. I'm going to try with the, I do believe the potatoes came with the salmon.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do with some of the potatoes on there and see how that cuts through.
All right. I'm going to have some of the sausage off the charcuterie board here with the wine. And Zach, what are you going to go with?
I'm going to try it with this white cheese from the charcuterie board, which I think maybe Swiss or Manchego or something like that.
Mm.
But I kind of want to see what cheese does.
That was good. That was some tall cotton right there. That was good stuff.
That was good. And that's a good sign because, like I said, he likes his Moscatos.
So
when you're getting on the other end,
I would
be
getting in some serious trouble today. I would. Yeah. Thank goodness we're not going to be live on the air later. My mother has commented. She's like, I know when you do those shows with the wine man. You're the wine man. Yeah. Or the wine man. Why? Well, you just get a little silly on the air. A little silly on the air. But no, in all seriousness, it just amplified the flavor of the meat. It made it just pop, very full. Again, none of these wines... This is, you know, again, I think we've all had a drink in our life where you're just like, wow, that was just a little.
For sure.
That is not your wines. That is not Vilken's wines. No. Vilken's wines what's that line from Monty Python? Something about some wines are for laying down and avoiding. These are not those wines. These are wines that you take home and have fun with. So, yes.
I love that you're quoting Monty Python. Yes. Thank you. I appreciate that.
A lot of people poo-poo Australian table wines. Yes. Yeah. But no, this is wonderful stuff. Yeah. Great.
It paired really well with that potato. It was kind of, you know, I put it with the potato because the potato's a little heartier. Mm. And, you know, we're getting up into the reds coming in here. So I wanted to go ahead and do something a little heartier, see where it cuts through. And this is actually nice. This is almost like adding a little butter and sour cream onto it. Added that little sweetness and a little creaminess onto it, and it came out really good. And like I said, that Chardonnay was not your typical Chardonnay. It wasn't that dry.
Mm-hmm.
You know what Chardonnay, but it's not a dry Chardonnay. If someone was to ask me at D&W, hey, do you have an un-oaked Chardonnay? I would say, okay, here you go. I would put this out there. And I would say it may not be un-oaked. I don't know. Do you still barrel this, or do you go ahead and it's just wooden barrel?
Yeah, this is new French oak, not 100%.
Okay,
but there's new French oak in this, and we are going to do it. Completely un-oaked. Yeah,
like I said, you wouldn't even have to. Nice. I would go ahead and recommend this out because they don't get the big oak. Yeah. A lot of them, it's like you're chewing bark.
Yes.
I mean, a lot of the Chardonnay, it's just like you're chewing the bark and stuff. This is not it.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Now, all transparency. I have done a lot of shows with a lot of guests, and they have brought their wines out here. I don't say this to just be nice to you and stuff. I am not nice in general. But I go ahead and to tell you, if it's something that, you know, I didn't like, I would tell you. I hope, you know, for people to fix it, mm-hmm. you know, be good. But this right here and your stuff so far has been absolutely phenomenal. Jason did a great job. Even though I know him, you know, like I said, I would still be unbiased. I do judging for a living. Mm. So this right here, I would recommend anybody. I would put my medals and my statue on these any day.
Oh my gosh, thank you. That's a huge, huge compliment. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You are listening to The Wine Guy on 92.1 WGHN, brought to you by DSC Products. Visit dscprod.com for all their cleaning solutions.
Uh-oh, red wine on the white carpet. And that's not just a stain, that's a family heirloom stain in the making. Enter Press-It from DSC Products, the fast-acting water-based dye remover that laughs in the face of grape juice, Kool-Aid, wine, soda, food coloring, you name it. No fumes, no flammable solvents, safe anywhere. Carpets, countertops, whiteboards, gone in seconds. So go ahead, live dangerously with your beverages. Press-It has your back. Visit dscprod.com. DSC Products, we don't just manufacture solutions, we are the solution.
You are listening to The Wine Guy on 92.1 WGHN, brought to you by DSC Products. Visit dscprod.com for all their cleaning solutions.
All righty. Well, we've got to continue on here. I'm going to ask, how many more do we have left here?
We
got plenty of time.
Red.
We got three. We can get through
them. Yeah, now we're in the red wine.
We're in the red zone, as they say.
We're in the zone.
As they say. So here's my left field question. This is actually about wine. And I'm sure you've probably said, at some point, seen the meme or seen the movie with Chris Farley where he says, stupid. When you were working with your winemaker, did you ever ask a question, and now looking back in hindsight, you're like, God, I shouldn't ask that because it made me look so dumb.
Oh my gosh, yeah, totally.
Or did the guy give you a look at you like, don't ever ask me that again?
Don't ever, yeah. Oh my gosh, yeah, I have a good one, but now you're asking me to remember things, which is, There was something that I said that was, yeah, definitely not cool. I'm gonna forget it. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But yeah, there are those moments where there are those moments, and I think we can all relate. I'm not gonna remember specifically, but we can all relate where we think we know,
mm-hmm.
and we don't.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember the very first, this story I remember. I remember the very first time that I made like a massive like wine mistake where I thought I knew everything.
Yeah.
And there's a thing about wine where if you know a little, you think you know it all.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem. And what we really need to always realize and remember is that in the wine world, no one knows everything. No one on the planet knows everything. And so there's that level of humility that everyone should walk around with when it comes to wine. The very first wine that I liked was Beringer White Zinfandel, mm-hmm. like many, many people.
Yep.
I thought I was a wine connoisseur. Oh, I like wine.
Yeah.
You know, oh. And so I walked around asking, like, every time I went to a restaurant, do you have Beringer White Zinfandel? You know, like I was a connoisseur of some kind.
Yes.
And I went to, and I was on a date with my girlfriend at the time in Denver, and I asked for a Beringer White Zinfandel. I thought it was Beringer White Zinfandel, but in fact, it was Benzinger Merlot.
Oh.
And so they brought to me a red wine, and I was expecting a sweet rosé wine. Yes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And she brought it, and I go, oh, no, this isn't what I asked for. And she goes, yeah, this is what you asked for. It's the Benzinger. And I go, no, take it back and return it. You know, and I thought I was so cool. You know, yeah. I was trying to, like, impress the girl I was dating. And she brought back another glass of red wine, and I was like, no, that's not it either. And she goes, sir, this is the Benzinger Merlot. And eventually it clicked that I was being a turd,
yeah.
and that I had no idea what I was talking about. And that moment was like the moment where it hit me, and I was like, okay, I'm never going to pretend like I know everything about wine ever again.
Yeah.
I'm always going to be like humble and open about what are all the things I don't know?
I know
about
nothing.
This.
I see nothing. Just tell me all.
Exactly.
Yes, yeah. Yeah. Yes,
I'm a blank slate.
Okay.
And yeah. that's 100% of is true.
Yeah.
I mean, as much as I know, 100%, I don't know it all.
Sure.
And I am happy for people to go ahead and give me more and more knowledge.
Okay. Yeah,
that's great. That's great.
All right. Well, we have moved into the Reds now, and we stepped back a year. We are now going back to the year 2023. All right. And this is the Fidelis. Now, where did your name come from? Because when you come with blends, you can give them any type of a name and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you pick this name here?
I picked, so this is a family of top-level blends, Fidelis, Anthos mm-hmm. is the other one that we'll taste. This is like where we give Jason free rein to blend, and that's where he is most happiest.
Yeah, and this is an 86.3% Merlot. I mean, boy, he's got it right down. Mostly, when you go ahead and look at the blend,
yeah.
they'll say, meh, you know, this is 86. This is 86.3%.
Yeah, right.
And then we have 13.7% Cab Franc.
Yes, very precise. Very
yes,
precise.
Very precise.
For these blends, we wanted ancient language. Fidelis is Latin for trustworthy, faithful, strong, right. Can be depended upon. That sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, I did kind of like a extensive search within old ancient languages. Languages in the original Bible. I wanted some nice. Words that would like kind of hit hard, that would mm-hmm. have meaning, that but also easy to pronounce, and you know what I mean, and kind of right. look good written on a bottle. So, so I did those searches. So that's where Fidelis came from. Yeah.
Okay.
My girlfriend, who happens to be a English language major and stuff on there, and I speak 9 languages fluently.
Wow.
So we go ahead, and she's always teasing me with some of the words that I can't pronounce. As Jesse knows, when we get into some of the wines there, I can't pronounce them. And she goes ahead and teases me, then tries it, then I turn it around to her and say, wow, can you say this?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Right. You're still just talking in English.
Yeah.
I get a very strong cherry. Oh, when you whiff that cherry.
That's the first thing out of my face.
Yep.
Cherry.
First thing right there in my face.
But boy, the color profile, that's beautiful.
It's that,
yeah.
It's that bright cherry.
Yeah.
It's that, you know, yeah. It's not like that older dark cherry.
Not like the kind you get from the side of the road from the farmers.
That's
something
right.
different.
That's right.
Something different.
That's right.
All right.
And then, yeah, see? Look at you.
Yeah. Oh, look at that. He was doing something fancy.
I love this guy.
Oh, that's where you take the color to the white.
Oh.
Now, I'm kind of...
There we go. I love what's going on over here. he stopped using words at this point.
I just started... I mean, it's... Oh, God. It was so light. Mm. And, I mean, there's a little... Not a burn, but like my tongue is doing little pop, 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 pop things. It's your social studies teacher looking for you. My tongue is doing little bop, 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 bop things, little pops. But I mean, it's a friendly wine. This is not a wine that you're going to fight. And it's not going to fight you.
Right, right. No, 100%.
Very berry flavor, which is your Merlot. Mm-hmm. Very berry flavor. And then... You get that little spicy pepper thing on the end.
Mm-hmm.
That's your Cab Franc.
There you go.
And that right there, my friend, that's my best friend.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
right there. I like the Cab Franc.
Well, I think after this afternoon, we'll have a lot of friends.
So I am excited. How about you? What did you get out of that one there?
Yeah, I definitely get cherries, and I think it's interesting that Michigan is known for cherries, and a lot of the red wine I taste cherries, and it just kind of makes you wonder. Is it just because it's from here? Is everything related? Or maybe it's just in my head.
That would be up north. Up north, they have the big cherry. I think we are the second largest grower of cherries. The second or the first? Because I know Poland.
I believe we are the it's either us or Washington State. But I believe we are the – well, Traverse City is the cherry capital of the world.
Yeah. So we're number one there, and I think Poland is number two.
Yeah.
Stuff on there. So, yeah, they would have, you know, a little bit of – you know, more on there. Mm-hmm. Those cherry flavors and stuff you get in just coming from that Merlot grapes.
Yeah, the black fruits. But also, I definitely get like some burnt caramel. Maybe some of that is from the oak. Some spice. I love like some of those baking spices
Those baking spices in there.
Vanilla at the end, vanilla cream at the end. This is really good. And I have to give respect to Keith Herman. Because as we transitioned from ownership, Keith Herman is Joe and Sue's son, who was winemaking for them. And so as they were exiting and we were entering the 2023 vintage, he produced and harvested, and then sort of like left them in vessels, and then they left, and then Jason came and transitioned. So this is one of the red wines that like represents part of Keith's expression and part of Jason's expression. And I just think Keith was like really, really talented. He was ready to move on from the wine world, which is fine, which is great. But we definitely want to kind of tip our hat at him.
Yeah.
Because he like was a part of some of these red wines.
Sure. Sure.
Really delicious. I mean, I love this. I love that it's not bold, like a California red. You can drink this by itself. You can drink it with food. It's good either way.
It is very, very good. You're listening to The Wine Guy here on 92.1 WGHN. We're being joined, of course, by our good friend, Mr. Jeff Crutchmeyer, and Zach Filkins. He is the guy behind Filkins Vineyards down there in Coloma, a little bit south of us here on US 31, as you're heading towards Chicago. And his day job is he's a guitar player from One Republic. We'll just sort of bury the headline there. And what we've been doing is we've been sampling his wines with various foods. We've gone through everything. I think we've got a couple left. I think we have two, but we need to pair this with something to eat. I am going to have some of the ginger beef. I'm going to have some of the ginger beef with the red here. And then you gentlemen can decipher what you would like to have.
The Wine Guy is brought to you on 92.1 WGHN by DSC Products, a manufacturer of cleaning products since 1983. DSC Products, locally owned and family operated. Visit dscprod.com for all their cleaning solutions. DSC Products, clean freaks and proud of it.